All right, hello.
Hey guys.
Welcome back
to the Flick Chicks podcast.
I'm Allison.
And I'm Jane.
And this is the third time we've tried recording the intro to this episode.
Hopefully the last time.
Like, we got pretty far last time. So hopefully this one all goes well. So, Jane, how are you?
I'm good. I'm fat and happy. It is good. Thanksgiving, and I have just been eating a lot, and that's, you know, what it's for, which is great.
Exactly.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. I had, like, a Thanksgiving, but not really, because I'm in England, and obviously they don't have that here.
They're the colonizers.
Exactly, because we ripped it from them. So... We basically, like, had our own, like, Thanksgiving, all the Americans here. And then I went Black Friday shopping today, and I finally bought a couple pairs of pants to replace the pants I've had to throw away since I've been here. I walk so much, and most of my jeans are just so cheap because they last forever when you drive. So I've had to throw them all away. So I'm down to 2 pairs of pants, but now I'm back to 4. So, yeah, we're doing good. And then I've been watching Nobody Come For Me. I've been watching Steven Universe, and I finished the 5th season. And so now all I have left is the movie, and then I don't know when they're going to release the next season, or, like, I've heard they're doing it. I don't know why, but I've heard they're going to release another one. So I've been crying because it's so beautiful, and everyone should
really
watch it.
I really need to watch it.
It's literally so good, and it's on Hulu if you're in the Americas. It's other places on the internet if you don't have Hulu. You can even, like, buy the seasons from YouTube for literally, like, $2 or something, but so freaking good. Excellent representation. I'm glad this is what the youth are growing up with, you know?
Yes, yes, definitely.
First of all, it's just good quality programming. Second of all...
Yeah, definitely.
Super fun and interesting. Cartoon Network is always ahead of everyone else.
It's so true. Honestly, I like a lot of Cartoon Network shows, like, both old and new. I like Adventure Time, and I like
Cartoon
The
Network.
Amazing World of Gumball.
Okay, you know how, like, every other place kind of used to make shows, which was, like, this is for adults and kids? Cartoon Network, and then, like, later on, they started making shows just for kids.
Yeah.
Cartoon Network never stopped making shows for adults. What they did is they just, like, separated their really young kid shows into being exclusively really young kid shows. But other than that, like, most of their shows, pretty appropriate for adults. They, like, never got out of that.
Which yeah,
is why
definitely.
I think, like, I don't think Cartoon Network ever will fail. I really hope not. Is Cartoon Network owned by anything?
I don't know.
I'm gonna look that up right now.
Do it. We need to,
like,
know.
I know they're not owned by Disney or anything. Let's see. Is Cartoon Network owned by anything? Cartoon Network is owned by Warner Brothers, which
okay.
is a division of AT&T.
Really? I didn't know that Warner Brothers was a division of AT&T.
It's called AT&T Warner's Media. My guess is they were two separate companies that became an amalgamation.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive, though. The fact that Warner Brothers still kind of exists is impressive to me.
I think that the fact that any production company except Disney still exists is impressive.
Hold on, guys. Hold on. Sony, don't let anyone tell you to sell Spider-Man. Don't do it. You're an idiot. If you sell Spider-Man, it's fucking over for you, Sony. That's all you have. It's true. Listen, if they get rid of Spider-Man, it's fucking over for Sony. And then it'll be down to, like, Warner Brothers versus Disney, and we know who wins that fight.
We know who wins all the fights, everyone.
Exactly. Exactly. And I like Cartoon Network the way it is, so nobody take it. I've liked it since I was a child. Nobody take it. It's because they have Adult Swim. I'm convinced.
Oh my gosh, it's so true. I love Adult Swim so much. I watch so much on Adult Swim. And whenever I was a kid, I would always stay up late to watch all of the Adult Swim shows.
Oh my god, when I was a kid, as soon as King of the Hill came on, I was like, it's time to change the channel to Nick at Night. It's time for me to watch The Nanny for 5 hours. It's time for George Lopez to wake me up at 3 a.m.
All right. Oh. So what are we talking about today, Allison?
Oh, my God. Okay. We are talking about my all-time favorite coming-of-age film, which you'll know what it is if you've listened to my Q&A minisode. It's Eighth Grade!
Eighth Grade!
Directed. I'm so excited.
By Bo and Burnham. Written by Bo Burnham.
He is a superstar. First of all, we have to thank and welcome a new patron, everyone.
Yes.
Please welcome E.A. Moore. Thank you for donating and supporting.
Thank you so much. Also, we would like to thank our friend of the podcast and patron, Jack, who suggested this movie for us.
Yes. Yep. It's a patron suggestion, because that's what we look at whenever we're wondering what movies to do. So if you want us to consider your movie recommendations first and foremost, or you want to hear, lately we've kind of been doing this thing where we've been doing a bunch of new movies on Patreon and then doing older movies here. So yes. Like maybe one day those new movies will get moved on to here, but at least not until they come out on DVD. So if you want to be like in the know, you gotta hop on over to Patreon.
Yeah, pay if you're a real movie content. Buff like us, you gotta give us money.
Exactly. Literally just $1 a month, and you can get access to all the you can get access to all of our backlogged episodes, including some true crime episodes we've done based on documentaries, as well as just some like fun episodes. But like I said, we're still kind of figuring out what our Patreon is, but I think mainly we've been leaning towards doing the new movies since the patrons are essentially what pays for us to go see those movies. I feel like it's only fair for us to give them first access to that content. So, of course, like, the more money we have, the more new movies we're going to be doing over there. Right now, we're at about, I would say, like, 2 a month. Which is pretty decent. So
yeah, pretty good.
And, of course, the more money we have, the more we'll do that, because I love going to the movies. I love doing this for you guys. And just little as $1 a month can get you access to all of that. And then, of course, the more you donate, the better your rewards get.
Yep.
So, I think that's it. Are you ready to talk about this movie? Okay. Oh my God. This movie is incredible.
It's so freaking good, and it's so simple.
I know. Listen, I don't even know, like, putting into words, so difficult how I feel about this movie. This movie is horrible to watch. It hurts.
It's horrible. It's horrible to watch. It's painful. You're just, like, tense the entire time. You want to cry the whole movie.
But you don't.
But you want to keep watching.
But you want to keep watching. And I think what's really interesting about this film, to me, like, one of the most interesting things, is that, like, really nothing happens. Like, there's really no plot.
Like, no, it's just like this girl going through like her day-to-day
life. Character study. I mean, it is a coming-of-age film, but I almost, like, hesitate to call it that, because most coming-of-age films have like, a big turning point where the person, like, grows up. Although, I guess people like Lady Bird, and that doesn't really have that, like, as much. Like, as much as if you're comparing, like, Lady Bird to Edge of 17...
Yeah.
Edge of 17 has a way bigger, like, turning point. Like, a lot of coming-of-age films have, like, a moment in the film where you can see the character grow up. This is not like that.
No.
This is, like, a very consistent growing up. And just a little bit growing up.
Okay, so this movie follows this, how old would she be? She's in eighth grade. She's just graduating eighth grade. She's 14, which is arguably the worst age.
Well, okay, I'll say she might be 13, because she says when she's going to graduate high school, she'll be almost 18. So her birthday might be in, like, the summer. But
yeah, gotcha.
She's 13 to 14. She's in the eighth grade.
Yes. Her name's Kayla. She is played by Elsie Fisher.
A queen.
She's in Castle Rock this season. So good. Ooh. She plays, like, Annie Wilkes' daughter. So good.
Isn't it weird that Elsie Fisher and Molly, what's her name? Molly Bobby Brown? The girl from
Millie Bobby Brown?
Millie Bobby Brown. Molly. Millie Bobby Brown are, like, the same age, and yet people are like, I wish I could fuck Millie Bobby Brown. That's disgusting.
That's disgusting. It's disgusting.
Go take a look at Elsie Fisher and recognize that those girls are the exact same age. Like, I gotta appreciate, I mean, Millie Bobby Brown, I get it. She's a superstar. Literally do what you want, girl. Dress how you want. Do your makeup. Look fly. You're in quite the profession that cares a lot about that. But at the same time, like, Elsie Fisher, gotta appreciate, she really doesn't do that. And
no. I mean, she doesn't do that in Castle Rock either. She looks very plain.
Good. I mean, she was obviously chosen for this film because she looks so realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's not really gorgeous. And I love that about this movie, too. No one in this film is, like, looks ridiculously weird for an eighth grader. They all look like eighth graders.
Oh, yeah. Even the popular girls who are supposed to be really pretty still look like eighth graders.
Yeah. Literally go watch this movie and then think about how you're sexualizing Millie Bobby Brown, you disgusting toads.
Ugh.
Literally, this is how old she is. Please leave her alone, Drake.
Just leave her alone.
Drake, stop texting her. Put down the phone. You're 33.
So gross.
It's gross.
Anyway, Elsie Fisher, she just looks like a regular eighth grader. Pimples, you know, awkward, slouched.
She looks a lot like how I looked.
A lot like how I looked. A lot like...
If you'd like to see what I looked like in the eighth grade.
She wears her hair exactly how I wore my hair, which is like, you know, you just pull it into the front to cover your face.
Literally, if only my hair was that good. Please, everyone, go watch her, but then imagine if she had bangs in the front that are, like, sideswept. That's what I look like.
So... This movie basically just follows Kayla throughout the end of eighth grade. They're basically just about to graduate eighth grade, and she's a loner. She's, you know, not very popular at all. She's very quiet, but she has a YouTube channel, the film opens and closes with, which is genius.
It's so good. It's all Gucci.
Gucci. Oh my gosh. Gucci.
Literally so good.
And it's like a self-help self-help YouTube vlog.
Yeah. She like gives advice, but she's so like, she gives advice on stuff she knows nothing about. You know what I mean? Like,
she doesn't take her own advice.
How to be yourself and how to be confident, all that kind of stuff. And they're kind of like, these clips of YouTube are kind of ironically contrasted, you know, with like what's happening in the movie. So, yeah. Like, when it's like, oh, how to be confident, and then she has to go to a pool party where she's clearly, like, freaking out, and...
She hyperventilates in the bathroom.
It's really sad. It's one of the... I think that's one of the hardest scenes for me to watch. Like, actually, every scene in this movie is really difficult, but there are a few, like, really standout scenes that I'm always like, I feel like I'm in middle school again. Like, after watching it, I was legit sweaty.
I know, I had like a nightmare last night that I was still in middle school after
it's
I watched
literally
this film.
It's literally terrible. Like, okay, so I cannot even remember what happens in this film. I just watched it. It's basically her going through eighth grade. So she goes, she like gets nominated for a superlative.
The quietest.
Yeah, she wins like the quietest girl in her class, right?
And she really wants to be, like, you know, outgoing and bubbly and cool and funny.
Yeah, and she hates the fact that she's quiet.
Yeah. So it's very sad, and I totally understand. Like, I totally get everything about her character. She doesn't have a mom. Her mom left when she was really young.
Yeah.
But she has the sweetest dad alive. The dad really that every dad should be.
Literally the best dad. He's so understanding.
And so sweet and just so supportive.
I know. And he basically, like, you know, he doesn't really know what's going on. He's trying to be a cool dad.
He's a single dad. He's just trying really hard and he loves her a lot.
Yeah, he does. It's really sweet. And then she ends up... So she gets this, like, box. They get these, like, time capsule boxes that they made in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
And she has, like, some stuff in it. Like, for when there's a fucking Bring It On playbill in there. that's signed, which I just think is so funny. And then she's got, like, some pictures. The box says, to the coolest girl in the world. And then there's, like, she has this, like, SpongeBob flash drive in there. That has, like, a video on it that we see later. But then we just kind of see her in school, and eventually she gets invited to this pool party for this girl named Kayla.
She's super, like, popular.
Very popular. I love that the popular girls in this film are not cute.
I know. I also love that that the mom only invites Kayla because she has a crush on her dad.
Yes. Oh, my God. Which, by the way, I was like, I want to see that movie. I want to see where they get married. And it's Kayla and Elsie, stepsisters for life. But I will say, like, one thing. I feel like this looks more like what people looked like when I was in the 8th grade than what it looks like people in the 8th grade look like now.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree.
Like, popular people in the 8th grade now, they look, like, better than me.
Yeah, me too.
Better than me right now. So, when I was in the 8th grade, that's what 8th graders looked like that were cute and popular, though. So,
just skinny very and had, you know, me. And just skinny and wore, like, good clothes, basically.
And the hair. Her hair. Yeah. It's like she clearly has textured hair that's been, like, straightened to, like, either it's textured or it's so damaged that it looks like it's been straightened and it's textured. I'm going with the it's so damaged.
Oh, that yeah.
Also, I just have to say, whoever the costume and makeup designer on this is a goddamn genius.
So because good.
Because this is such, it looks so right. Like, even the popular girl's makeup sucks. It just sucks less than everybody else's. I also have to talk about in the beginning scene when she's watching the makeup tutorial, which, by the way, is, I'm pretty sure, one of those girls whose moms went to jail for, like, getting her into USC, paying for her to get into USC.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was, like, the one of the girls that got, like, her mom got in trouble for that.
Wow.
But this, I mean, that obviously would have been filmed way before that, like, a couple years before that, but I thought that was funny. But the way she's using her beauty blender, I was literally crying. I was like,
I know, the beauty blender isn't even wet.
It's dry, like, and she's just rubbing it on her face. I was like, oh my God, that is me. It hurts, because that is exactly what I did. Like,
me too.
And also, it's like the cheapest, it's like one of those cheap beauty blenders that I literally still use, but at least if you get it wet, it's, like, decent. I was like, huh, oh, baby, like, it's rough. And then, I literally laughed so much when I saw that. I was like, I love this movie. Just the small details. The kid jerking off under his shirt.
Oh my God, I remember, like, a kid masturbating in class. I was like, oh my God.
No, you do not.
I do. That. It was a girl.
I remember that some kid in my school, I think in, like, the 8th grade, got suspended because he showed his dick to a girl, but I know he graduated with me. Like, he wasn't expelled or anything, but I don't really remember if anyone ever, like, got caught masturbating or anything. I don't even remember if I ever heard stories about that. I just remember one time a guy showed his dick to a girl in class. He, like, just came up and was like, look. And she was like, what the fuck? And he got in trouble. It was in science class. I remember that.
Wild. And so she goes to this pool party. And first of all, I just want to say, I had the exact same swimsuit that she had. That electric green, like, that one piece.
Doesn't fit literally at all.
Yeah, and it just, like, your back fat is hanging out.
It's just hanging out. It's not cute. That's what my sister's doing.
It's not cute at all. I had the exact same one. I totally get it.
She's also the only girl wearing a one piece in the...
I know. I was so sad because I was watching this with our friend Michaela, and I was like, oh my gosh. She's like, what? And I'm like, she's the only one wearing a one piece.
Yeah, it's really... That's rough. That's how I feel when I go to the pool now, because I always wear one pieces.
I also always wear one piece.
I literally will not buy bikinis, because I'm always so scared.
Yeah, I don't like bikinis. I have a poo belly.
Especially, also, I'm at the public pool, bitch. What if this comes up? I don't trust anyone. I don't want anyone to be able to come behind me and untie my top.
Yeah.
I wear a one piece.
Me too. No shame.
Or at least a high-waisted... I'm not doing that. I don't like that. I don't like my tummy hanging out. But that's also why I'm really pale, so there you go.
So she has a crush on this guy. What's his name again?
Aiden. Oh my god, Aiden.
Oh
my god. When he's introduced.
One of my favorite scenes is when she's at the pool and she sees him and the music starts playing.
Yes, and he gets out of the pool and it's like his... just literally, like, baggy-ass swim trunks, all sopping wet. Like, I'm sure you guys have all seen, like, commercials or movies where women get out of the pool, and they, like, pull themselves up on the railing, and it, like, shows their butt, and it's, like, wet and glistening. It's like that, but with a 14-year-old in the most baggy swim shorts you've ever seen.
And her mouth is just agape.
Open. And then, oh my god, we meet Gabe.
I love Gabe.
Me too. He's this weird-ass little kid who comes over and is like, I can do a handstand, want to see?
And then he doesn't do a handstand.
And he's like, waters are way too choppy for this. We need more gentle waters. I literally love him. I literally want to adopt him. If I was a mother, I would want to adopt him. I would want him to be my kid
if I were a mother.
Exactly, but I would only want him to be as he was right then. I would never want him to be younger or older.
He's so good. And so he kind of, it's really sweet though. You know how like weird kids kind of recognize each other? You know, like kind of come up to each other and try to talk. I remember that. I would always like try to point out the other weird kids and be like, maybe they'll be my friend.
Please sit with me.
Please. That's why I found the band kids. That's, you know.
She's in band.
It. Yep, he's in band.
She plays the cymbals.
I watched it last night after I watched 8th grade. I was still in the mood for, like, weird middle school, like, humor. Mm-hmm. So I watched Pen 15. Did I show you Pen 15 before you left?
Yeah, I've seen quite a bit of Pen 15, but not all of it.
I was watching it. It's so good.
It is really good. If you love weird middle school humor, Pen 15 and Big Mouth sure are for you.
Yes, definitely. If you love that stuff, watch them. They're great.
If you like being literally so uncomfortable.
Which, like us, for some reason.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. You know what's interesting about this movie is people call it a comedy, but I don't laugh one single time in this movie. But I'm laughing thinking about it.
I laugh sometimes whenever I'm uncomfortable. I'm like,
yeah, I don't think I literally ever laughed in this movie. I think I maybe laughed when I saw it in the theaters because it, like, uncomfy laughs. But yeah. This movie is not, like, laugh out loud funny.
No, it's not. It's like.
Which is, of course, very, like, weird for, like, Bo Burnham, right? Like, if that's what you're expecting, it's not like that.
It gives you a weird feeling for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's just uncomfortable. It's like, it feels very much like, to me, it brings back the worst, most uncomfortable feeling of what it was like to be in middle school. Like,
oh, yeah. Just feeling uncomfortable in your own skin at all times.
This is a movie I'm going to force myself to watch when I'm old and I feel like I'm not connecting with the youth. I'm going to make myself watch this because it makes you remember. You know what I mean? Like, you have to feel bad for children when you watch this movie because you're like, God damn, that is rough. You can say they don't have problems.
That sucks so much.
And yeah, they don't have, like, problems like money, but yeah, they have problems.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's so, so sad. And just, I remember just being that, like, socially awkward kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I still am that socially awkward adult, but it's a lot easier because you find people who are okay with it, and in middle school, no one is okay with it.
And also, you grow up and become, like, more comfortable with the way you are.
Yeah.
So you don't have to, like, freak out when people, like, look at you.
Remember when you were 12 and if someone looked at you, just wanted to kill yourself?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
I really, really do.
Really remember it. It's fresh in my head.
So she meets Gabe, but then, so she kind of goes through, you know, middle school or whatever, and at one point she hears that Aiden has dumped his girlfriend because she would not send him dirty pictures, and so she gets this brilliant idea that during the active shooter drill,
that which, by the way,
which by the way is so like mid-2000s middle school.
Also, it's and now. Yeah. Oh my god.
So she gets this brilliant idea that she's gonna crawl over to his desk and nonchalantly mention that, like, oh, you know, my dirty picture folder popped up on my phone the other day. And it was so, like, sad whenever he was ignoring her when she was talking. And then as soon as she said dirty pictures, he was like, what?
I know. It's really depressing.
And then she's, it's so awkward.
And then he's like, do you give blowjobs? And she's like, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm really good at them. And then she walks away. She goes home, and she looks up how to give a good blowjob on YouTube.
But she can't watch it because she's too uncomfortable.
And then she goes in the kitchen and tries it with a banana.
And her dad comes home.
I think that's probably one of the only scenes that I laughed out loud was the scene whenever she eats the banana and she hates
bananas. And she's literally gagging on the banana. And he's like, are you
eating the banana?
And he's like, are you, you don't have to eat it if you don't want to. She spits it out and throws it at him and is like, fine, I don't like bananas, okay? I was like, this movie made me feel so bad for existing at 14.
I know, I felt so bad for my mom. I was like, man.
I was like, oh my god, my parents really lived with me exactly like this.
I know, I'm like, how do they love me? How do they still love me?
Here's the thing. I feel like a lot of, okay, I'm not, it's no secret that I'm not a big fan of coming of age films. And here's, I think one of the main reasons is that I can really never relate to the characters when they're like 17, 18 and they're acting like brats. Because I was not that way at 17 and 18. Like,
oh yeah,
17. I recognize that that is bratty behavior, and that, like, even, like, I don't know. For example, Lady Bird. I think Lady Bird is the most annoying, horrible, selfish character, and I don't think you're necessarily supposed to think she's a good person. But I know so many people who, like, idolize Lady Bird as a person, mm-hmm. and you're like, she's a bad person. Like, she's not a bad person. She's just a brat. And she's spoiled.
Yeah.
And, like, I could not relate to that at, like, 17 and 18. But this film, I feel like the reason I like this so much is because Kayla is simultaneously a brat and also not a brat.
Yeah, she's actually really sweet, too.
Yeah, and it's just, like, her dad, basically. Like, which I was like, that is how I feel. That is exactly how I was.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and at 14, specifically at that time, that's exactly how I was. Like, I wasn't like it forever, and I eventually, like, grew out of it. But I feel like that's why I don't like a lot of coming-of-age films, is because I'm like, y'all are too old to be acting a fool.
But she's, like, 13, 14, and she is just so sad and so uncomfortable and just thinks her dad is making it worse. Totally, and
she's totally allowed to act a fool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's, and, I think that's why I like it so much, is yeah. I can relate to this film.
Me too.
I don't think she's a brat.
They do this thing where they bring the middle schoolers into high school to meet with their high school counterparts, basically to show them around, show them what it's like to be a high schooler, that type of thing. And she gets paired with the sweetest girl.
Literally such a nice woman. Olivia?
Yeah, she's, like, so nice. And she, like, adores Kayla. She's like, you're so cool, you know, like, I'm so excited, like, for you to be in high school.
She
it's
can,
so
like,
sweet.
Clearly tell that Kayla's, like, very uncomfortable. And I guess that's, like, how she used to be. Because she's a senior in high school, too.
Yeah.
Because they're 4 years apart. So she, like, really takes her under her wing and, like, tries to make her comfortable and give her, like, a group. It's very
sweet. It's really sweet. She's a kind lady.
Yeah.
So Kayla has a friend finally, and like they talk after school, and she's very sweet.
Oh my god, I want to talk about when she calls her and she's practicing how to say hey.
I'm like, me.
Literally, I was like, I love Kayla. That is, I do. What do we do that now?
Me too.
Hey, hey, hey.
Olivia invites her to the mall to walk the mall, and I definitely remember walking the mall as a kid.
I did too. I walked the mall. Who didn't?
Who didn't? And she introduces her to a group of friends, basically. And
another super fucking awkward, horrible scene.
Yeah, it's horrible. But Olivia's really sweet and tries to make Kayla comfortable.
Yeah, but of course, like, everyone's like, this is fucking weird.
Oh my gosh, the scene where her dad is, like, stalking her, and then she, like, oh my god, and then he, like, oh, it's so sad. I feel so bad for her and for him.
And it's like, you're torn, because you're like, ah!
And then he's like, here's $20, get yourself a pretzel or something.
Oh, I know, and she's just, like, so upset. Oh, it's so sad.
And then he's like, I'll come pick you up. And she's like, no, I'll get a ride home.
And he says, okay, because he knows he's in trouble.
Yeah, he's like, okay, it's so sad. I feel so bad for him. Like, he's just crying so hard.
I know. And he's excited, too. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's excited that she has, like, someone to hang out with now.
Friends. But then also they're in high school, so get scared.
Yeah. I had seen your friends when I was in eighth grade.
Oh, no. My parents would have been like, haha, guess you're gonna have no friends.
Really? I was in high school band in eighth grade, though.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. I was not. I wasn't in band. I was never in band. So, I was not in anything that involved high schoolers.
Yeah.
And everyone I knew that was involved with high schoolers was, like, in the eighth grade having sex with high schoolers, which is, like, really fucking disgusting. But, not for them. They were, like, abused, but... For the high schoolers.
Yeah, definitely.
What was literally wrong with you? Which brings us to our next topic.
Yes, brings us to the next scene, which is possibly the most terrifying scene in the entire
film. Transitions so well. It's like the most disgusting, horrible scene. I literally was like having a panic attack when I watched it.
Yes, me too.
The first time I ever watched it. Because I legitimately thought this poor girl was about to be like raped.
Yeah, statutory raped.
Basically, she does get a ride home from this guy who is, like, in the group, whose name I don't even remember.
Olivia is with them at first.
Yeah, and basically Olivia's like, oh, let's take her home first. And he's like, well, that doesn't make sense because, like, you're a lot closer. And then Kayla's like, oh, no, like, she doesn't, you know what I mean? She doesn't want to be uncool. She doesn't want to be a burden.
Yeah, yeah.
So she says, so like, no, like, it's fine.
It's fine, yeah.
You can drop her off first. And so they do. And then... They're kind of chatting, her and the guy, and he's like, it's so awkward to chat with you in the back seat. And so he pulls over, and she's like, oh, do you want me to get in the front? And he was like, no, I'll come back there. And so he gets in the back, and they're, like, chatting. And then he's like, truth or dare, which I was oh, my God, I'm going to literally kill myself. And then she says truth, and he asks her how far she's been. And she lies, and also I want to say, she lies and he can tell, and he says, this is such a disgusting line, he says, it's okay with me if you haven't done anything. Like, absolutely disgusting.
Absolutely disgusting, and then he's like, oh my god, he's like, can I take my shirt off?
Yeah, and then he tries to dare her to take her shirt off, and she's like, yeah, I'm not really comfortable with that, and he's like, oh, come on, just do it. And she's like, no. And she kind of, like, yells at him and says, like, no. Like, she doesn't really yell. She just kind of, like, snaps at him. Yeah. Like, I'm not doing that. And so we cut, and he's driving the car, and she's in the backseat by herself again. And she's just, like, apologizing, because she, like, feels so bad, which, like, I totally been there.
I totally get it, but, like, it's not your fault, honey.
It's not your fault, and also you're literally allowed to say no to anything, doesn't matter, ever.
Yeah.
Even
anything that you don't want to do, you're allowed to say no to.
But, like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, we've, everyone's like felt that. You know what I mean?
And women like, are so like conditioned to, you know, always say I'm sorry for saying no.
I know. And so she's just apologizing and he's like, stop saying sorry, it's fine. I said it was fine. And he like yells at her. And then he's like, I was trying to help you, you know, like now your first time's gonna be at some party with some guy getting felt up and you're gonna suck and he's gonna tell all his friends about it and he's gonna tell everyone how terrible you were and people aren't gonna like you anymore. And he's like, is that what you want? And she's like, well, no. And he's like, see, I was doing it for you, like to help you learn. And she's like, well, I really appreciate it, but it was just like, it was a lot at once, you know.
God, abuse.
I know. Literally abuse. I was like, literally, hello, gaslighting. And, like, so does he's literally 18 and she's 14. Or he's 17 and she's 13. Either way, fucking disgusting. And then, like, I literally dated a guy when I was 18, when I was 14 and he was 18. And that was so exactly what it's like. And I wish this movie had been around.
I do too. I dated an 18-year-old when I was 15. And it's like, that's it's totally what gross. It's like.
And like, once you're 18 and you look back, you're like, that? It's like, you want to be like, Kayla, like, you're so stupid. Like, of course he's using you. Of course he doesn't care about you. But then when you're in that situation, it's like, when you're there, it's like you feel so old and you feel like there's not that much of a difference.
But now that you're 18 and then you look back and you're like, I would never get with a 14-year-old in a million years.
And it feels different. Do they feel like when they're at that table or whatever and that guy says like, oh, they're like a completely different generation. He's right. It feels like they are.
Yeah.
Like, obviously they're not. And like the difference between like, it's just the stages of life that you're in.
Yeah, like, when you're in your 20s, like, that age difference doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, because if you're in a similar stage of life, it's like, okay. But you're not in a similar stage of life when you're coming into high school and you're graduating high school. Those are completely different.
Yeah.
And it's really so gross. I legit thought he was gonna, like, rape her, not gonna lie.
Horrible.
But he basically still emotionally damages her. And her very last thing,
oh my god.
Her very last thing she says before she gets out of the car is like, please don't tell Olivia about this.
And listen, if Olivia knew about that, she would like dump that guy so hard.
Oh, I know. I literally want to be like, baby, you need to tell Olivia about this.
Because she will not be friends with that guy. She's a good girl.
No, she is. She's sweet and she would never. And like, it was so, just so gross. And so then she comes to her house and she's sad. And they, like, they have this thing where, like, she's crying and her dad goes into her room and they cut out all the audio.
Ugh.
And it's really fucking depressing. And then they just do this thing where it's, like, they beeps for her to make her YouTube video. She basically talks about, in, like, certain words that she has anxiety.
Yeah.
It's like,
that she's like nervous all the time.
Yeah, and I mean like obviously she has anxiety, but like we know this. But yeah, she basically talks about she's like the butterfly feeling you get before you're about to get on a roller coaster. I just have that all the time, even when I'm not doing anything, and I never get the feeling of like getting off the roller coaster. Like it's so sad.
Because, like, she has anxiety, but she obviously has no clue what's going on in her brain. And that's so sad. Because that's so what it is. That's so what it's like.
It's like, she's unaware that she's ill. You know what I mean? She's also unaware that, like, other people feel this way. She feels like it's something wrong with her.
Ugh.
And so she stops making her YouTube videos, and she gets her box, and she watches the video with herself on it from the sixth grade saying like, oh, I know you're going to be so cool and all this stuff. And then she asks her dad to help her burn the box.
Oh my gosh. Whenever they put it on the fire and he's like, so what's in there? And she's like, oh, just kind of my hopes and dreams.
And he goes, right.
And listen, this is my favorite part of the entire movie, this scene. His monologue is my favorite scene.
I know. when he has that whole thing about, well, she basically, like, says, like, Dad, do I make you sad?
Oh, and honey.
And he goes into this whole thing where she's like, what are you talking about? And she says, like, if I had a daughter someday, I would love her because she was my daughter, but if she was like me, I would be sad all the time that she was my daughter. And he goes into this monologue about how he's like, no, you make me so proud. You're such a good daughter. Like, I barely have to work. Like, you make being a dad so easy. You make me love being a dad. Like, after your mom left, I was so worried about if you were going to turn out all right. And then he's like, and I haven't been worried about that for such a long time because of the way you are.
And he's like, the things that I thought I would have to teach you, like how to share and how to be kind to people, you just started doing. And you're such a good kid, and I'm so happy to be your dad. Oh my gosh.
And they hug.
And they haven't hugged the entire movie, and it's like, I cried during the scene. Oh my gosh, this dad is just what every dad should be. Emotionally open and available.
Literally. And then we skip ahead to 8th grade graduation. And I think this is, like, one of the best scenes. This is the point in the movie where I was like, nothing happened, but I still feel like so much happened.
Yes, yes.
Like, they go through, and she sees Aiden, right? Aiden, I think is his name.
Yeah,
Aiden.
I think so.
Is that what I said earlier? Yeah. I wrote it down. Yeah, Aiden. So she's at 8th grade graduation, and she sees him, and she starts to follow him, and you think she's going to say something to him, but then she stops at Kennedy's, who's, like, the cool popular girl. She looks at the floor the whole time, and is like, you're really mean, and when people are nice to you, like, you should be nice to them, and I gave you a really nice letter that I thought about a lot. You didn't even, like, send me a DM. Like, I don't even know if you read it. And also, that card game I gave you was really fun, and you would just know if you played it. Stop trying to be so cool. And she goes, and then just stops and walks away.
So
and
good.
And then she looks up, and she just smiles. And you're like, you could tell how proud of herself she is. She, like, finally stood up for herself. Even though, to this girl who literally had no idea that she was making her upset at all, probably.
Yeah, she had, no clue.
Who literally barely knows who Kayla is. And then, like, the whole time she just, like, stares at the floor, literally never once, like, you know what
makes
I mean?
Makes eye contact. Never makes eye contact.
Never once. And then, so then, doesn't she see Gabe again?
Yes.
Yeah, so they meet at his house, they have some chicken nuggets and fries.
They have the cutest thing, and he gets all of the sauces. He gets, like, two packs of all of the sauces for her. And then they both find out they love Rick and Morty, and they, like, do terrible voices, and it's really cute.
It's really awkward, and you hate it, but you're also like, yay, she has a friend!
Because they're both so awkward. He can't make eye contact. And
they have this thing where they're literally talking about, and she says, am I, like, being too quiet? And he says, oh no, you've been pretty talkative, but, like, not too talkative in an annoying way, but, like, you know, responding to me. And then he goes, it's a pretty good conversation, don't you think?
We're having a good conversation, don't you think? It's so good.
I was like, I'm dying. Little babies.
They're so cute, though. I'm so happy that she made a friend, and he's, like, a good friend, and it's so cute.
And then does she make another video?
Yeah, she makes another video, and he says that he likes her videos.
Oh, yeah, it's really sweet. And he, like, says he's like, oh my god, he does the exact same thing where he's like, oh, what's this? Oh, that's so embarrassing, let me just take that away. And she's like, what is it? And he's like, oh, it's just from archery camp last year when I shot 5 bullseyes in one day. It's pretty stupid. And she was like, no, I think it's cool. And he's like, well, I think it's dumb.
It's so, so awkward.
That's a kid from Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah, it is. It is. I love Moonrise Kingdom. That's another good coming-of-age film.
It is.
And then I think she makes another video, but then it kind of skips to her, she makes a video for her high school self, graduating from high school.
Yeah. That's
and
right.
So she makes another time capsule for her high school graduating self.
Yeah, so it's really sweet. And it's like, it of course ends with Gucci.
Gucci. Oh my God. Beautiful film. And then the scene amazing. Whenever like they're driving to her high school graduation and she's talking to her dad. And like she never talked to her dad before when they're in the car. And like she was like.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, there's no audio, but she's talking to her dad and she never talked to her dad before. It's really sweet.
Yeah. It is really sweet. It's such a good movie. Like, and here's the thing, like, when you're watching it, when you're thinking about it, nothing happens, right? Like, there's, all of her problems are so minute and not real that, like, they don't even consist of, like, character development. But when you're watching it, they feel so big.
Because and, like, everything feels big when you're in eighth grade.
Exactly. And that's exactly what it felt like. It feels like those problems are, like, real. And, like, that's what I think we, like... When you have bigger problems all the time, because life never stops throwing problems your way, those little eighth grade problems seem like such small problems. But the truth is, there's always a lot of problems every day.
Yes, and even when you're young, you still have a lot of problems and they feel like real problems.
Exactly. And honestly, like, this film is just so good. The detail in this film, like, her nail polish, like, always being chipped and, like, the worst colors.
Yes.
And, like, the rat tail on the band teacher. Like, the constant pained look on her face. I literally don't know how she achieves that, but she does.
Her chin acne. Crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's real, unfortunately, but...
That's real. I still have that problem.
We'll grow up. Me too. I was gonna say you'll grow out of it, but then I was like, well, you won't. Her outfit at the mall where she thinks, like, the super cute outfit is, like a not quite cropped shirt, but a short shirt with jeans and a flannel tied around the waist that, like, have no shape. Like, just exactly what is right. And also, I mean, Elsie Fisher, when this was filmed, was legitimately in the eighth grade. She literally just graduated eighth grade the week before they started filming.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, she is the right age.
Yeah. She's perfect for the role. Like, perfect.
Yeah.
And you like her, too. Like, you like, I know. You like her a lot.
I know. Did you know that this was one of Barack Obama's top films of 2018?
Really? That's so cool.
Yeah. I know. I love him. I love Bo Burnham. Ugh. It's really... Bo Burnham is a very excellent director, I think. And
I think so,
for this
too.
To be his debut film, very good. And he hasn't, I don't think he hasn't directed another film. I was gonna say, I don't think he has. I know he hasn't directed another film. But he has directed a couple of comedy specials that are, like, crazy, insanely good, that a lot of people consider to be, like, some of the best modern comedy specials, like,
yeah,
ever. It's
I
kind
think
of.
He has a lot more to give us.
I mean, here's the thing, like, he doesn't have any desire, I don't think, to do comedy for a long time. Like, from interviews I've seen with him, he basically has said, like, I'm done with comedy for now because I don't have anything else to put out there. Like, mm-hmm. He's like, I'm out of content. But he's, like, very interested in directing, and this was a very good debut film. He also directed... He did direct another film when he was 18, mm-hmm. Or he wrote a script for a Judd Apatow movie.
Gotcha.
But... he said it was terrible.
It happens. Maybe he'll make another Judd Apatow movie. That'd be good.
Maybe. I mean, he was literally 18 years old. What kind of person hires an 18-year-old comedian from YouTube to write your script for your movie?
Judd Apatow. He did it with Seth Rogen.
Judd Apatow. Yeah, there you go. He thought, maybe this one. To be fair, he wrote a thing called Anti-High School Musical, and he said it was fucking terrible. But he also directed... what is it? Jared Carmichael 8 and Chris Rock's Tambourine, which was like Chris Rock's comeback to stand-up comedy.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's, like, really cool.
Yeah, I haven't seen either of them because neither of those comedians are, like, I don't love stand-up comedy enough to just watch any stand-up comedian. I only watch ones I, like, really love.
Agreed.
And who like fit into a very specific box.
At John Mulaney.
At John Mulaney and Bo Burnham, basically. Daniel Sloss. And, like, but from what I've heard, they're amazing. I mean, you've seen Make Happy, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, you know, like, that show is incredibly designed. Like,
oh, yeah.
And it's Bo Burnham, yeah. Like, the lighting design, the entire show is done by him and one other person.
That's really
like,
cool.
there's one person running the lights and sound, and there's and he designed all of it with them. So, like, pretty insane. But he's obviously a very good designer and a very good director.
Yeah, and this movie is beautiful, too. Like, beautiful in the way that it's so awkward and cringy, but it's still really fun to look at.
He doesn't have, like, a... I would say, from what I've noticed in his comedy specials, he has a very, like, hardcore design style, but this movie doesn't really have that. He doesn't have, like, a hardcore... There's nothing, like, incredibly special about the cinematography of this film. But I think, honestly, for me, it's more about the writing.
Yeah.
And... It's a very interesting film. And he actually, I was, like, reading an interview about him talking about this film. Because, obviously, Bo Burnham was, like, one of the first viral stars ever on YouTube. Like, he went viral in 2006. And has literally been working in the industry ever since then, which is kind of crazy because he's 27 now.
Yeah.
So, pretty insane. And... He basically, like, said he fucking hated it. He was like, it was awful. And he said, like, he also has anxiety, which is, like, something he really relates to with Kayla, obviously. And he said, like, he would be in and out of the hospital for years because they could never figure out why he would be so sick. And it's literally just because he had anxiety. Like, he was like, my anxiety
You can make yourself sick just by being anxious. Yeah. It's totally true.
And he said, I would be sick all the time, like, every day, having to run to the bathroom every 5 minutes because I would be so sick. And... That's why, like, he basically said, like, growing up under the internet's thumb was, like, so horrible. But he said also, and I think this was a really interesting thing where he talked about his film. He said there's a lot of films that are about, like, how bad the internet is and how bad social media is, how it's either all good or it's all terrible. But he's like, it's not really true for either. He's like, it's like, he compared it, he said it's like a dissociative disorder. Like, it's this... other life that you live that's not real at all, and everyone lives it.
Yeah.
And he said he wanted like the feel of the social media and of the internet. He said he wanted this like weird pressure to constantly live up to that despite the fact that it doesn't even matter. Like, and he said, like, I think that's really interesting, like the idea that it's not necessarily good or bad, it's just not real and we stress about it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like it is real. And I guess when he was researching for this movie, he would go to YouTube and he would hit like uploaded the videos that were uploaded that day, because you can sort by like most popular, and then you can also sort by like uploaded that day, and it'll show you like the most recent videos to the least recent, right? Like, for the day. Yeah. And he said he would just watch YouTube videos of, like, people around this age.
Wow. Like,
yeah, and I was like, can you imagine Bo Burnham seeing your dumbass YouTube video you made when you were 13? Fucking kill me. Listen, I gotta say, like, I'm really glad that I did not grow up and have access to a YouTube channel.
Oh, me too. I mean, me too.
I did, but I wasn't allowed. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, me either.
So, I'm grateful for that. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Also, that scene in the lunchroom where, like, the guy says that, like, having Snapchat in the fifth grade, like, wires you different.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Bo Burnham said he believes that. He's like, that's like one of the places where my opinions really slipped into the movie. He said, because the thing is, like, he said, I'm going to just read this quote. It's from Rolling Stone. He said, the other truth is that, he said, I feel like that's the one place where I really slipped in and I really believe overtly. The other truth is that when you riff off on, like, the philosophy of a generation, you sound like a shithead boy, like a dick at the lunch table. The big cultural things that would make generations feel different. We had rotary phones. Those things happen every 2 years now. All of a sudden, it goes from Instagram 7.6 to 7.7, and the brain chemistry of an entire generation was just altered slightly.
Wild.
I know. I was like, whoa. True. Kind of scary. But it's also like this, and like, he talks about it later in the article about how he's like, but you can't stop, like, you're addicted to it. I'm addicted to it. And everyone's addicted to it. So it's like, but you got, he's like, but you do need to understand, like, it's not real. And he thinks, like, it is a, he's like, it's, I think, I don't think social media is the cause of Kayla's anxiety. I think Kayla has anxiety anyway, and she has this, like, constant desire to make people want to like her.
Mm-hmm.
But social media certainly doesn't help that.
Definitely.
And it if anything, it only, like...
It exacerbates.
Heightens. Exacerbates. Exactly. It exacerbates this anxiety. And what might be this, like, normal, kind of manageable anxiety becomes this, like, overwhelming 24/7 fear of, like, not... being good enough.
Yeah.
Which, like, honestly, I gotta say, I kind of feel like the older I get, the more I just naturally grow out of that.
Yeah, I agree. So, me too.
But also, I don't know if that will be forever, because I lived a good part of my life without social media, and I've lived a good part of my life with social media. And there was a time when I had time to think about it, and when I had the space to worry about it, that I was, like, really, really obsessed with making my feed look good or whatever. But I feel like the older I've gotten and the more I've had to live in the real world, the less time you have for, like, social media, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I like to think that that's just a thing that people will grow out of, but, like, I don't really know, because I didn't... I mean, now there are people, like, born who are, like, 10 who have literally never lived without social media, basically.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It'll be interesting to see how it affects different generations differently.
Yeah, and how they grow up as adults and, like, function with that. Because I do think, like, I do think social media definitely has the potential to exacerbate underlying issues that people already have.
Yeah.
Like, underlying negative self-image issues that people just kind of naturally have. And it's natural to compare yourself to others, I think, to, like, because others are, like, a good reference point for how you're doing.
Yeah, it's how we learn socially.
Exactly. But when you have this ability to constantly see people at their very best all the time, all over the world, it's kind of, like, scary. Exactly. I mean, it's, like, it's going to turn what should be a good evolutionary concept into something that's, like, a weapon against your mental health.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. I have a hard time saying social media is bad, but I also have a hard time saying it's good.
And I think this movie approaches that really nicely.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why I really like this movie, too, and I like what he said, where he's like, I'm not saying it's all bad or all good. I'm saying it's always present and that it's not real. Like...
Yeah.
It's like, he said it's like a dissociative identity, like, or a dissociative disorder that everyone has, mm-hmm. where we have this, like, other life that we're constantly worried about that no one else cares about.
Yeah.
And of course, it's not true for everyone, but it is true for the vast majority of people, right? Like, and I mean, I've seen Make Happy probably 27 times, and I cry literally every single time I see it, but when he talks about in that special even, where he says, like, we're constantly performing all the time for everybody, and that's what the market gave us, was, like, we started idolizing performers, and then they said, okay, you want to perform? Everyone can perform all the time. And he said, like, it's exhausting. Like, it's not good for you. Like, why are performers always so fucking sad?
Yeah, it's exhausting.
It's exhausting to have to hold up an image all the time. So what I'm saying is, you know, be careful.
Be careful. Tread lightly.
So, tread lightly on your social media.
What would you give this movie?
I would give it a 9 out of 10.
Me too.
Because I think it's an amazing directorial debut. And it's very good. It goes by really fast.
I agree.
An hour and a half. I don't think it's, like, cinematography is anything special or anything like that, but I love it, so... And I love Bo Burnham so much. I have a crush on him, so gotta give it a good thing. I also have some little fact boys that I think are kind of cool.
Nice.
So, first of all, the technology company Apple was going to provide laptops and phones for the film for free. But they were unhappy with the scene where the iPhone broke when it got thrown. And as a result, all the laptops showed in the film were actually those belonging to crew, and the broken iPhone scene was kept in.
Wow.
And
Holbert
said, okay, fuck you. And also, right after the filming of this movie was finished, Elsie Fisher started her first year of high school, where she did not receive a part in her school play.
Oh, honey.
I know. I was like, oh, that's rough. So there you go. I have two reviews that are a little bit shorter. Okay. The first one I think is really, really sweet, and the second one I think misses the point of the film entirely. So 10 out of 10, I'm a 60-year-old man, but now I remember.
Oh.
Isn't that already, you're just like, tears. I was introduced to Bo Burnham by my adult children who found his stand-up specials funny. I watched and found him extremely talented with an underlying sadness. That is true.
True.
I expected this movie to be uproarious with an undercurrent of teen angst. Instead, it was incredibly poignant and moving. In fact, it was so painful at points I found it difficult to watch. In the scene where she drops her cell phone due to the excitement of being invited to the mall by an older friend, my eyes began to well up with tears. It is one of the most realistic movies regarding youth that I have ever seen. A painful watch, but well worth it. Burnham has a big future ahead of him.
Aww.
I know. I was like, old man! Grandpa!
Grandpa!
That's how I feel. That's how I feel about the movie, and that's how I hope I feel about this movie forever. And then this one is a 2 out of 10. It says, this movie is a masterpiece for the American audience. Who can relate to a young girl's drama when there is no drama or arc? There was a time when growing up had a lot more to tell than a complex emotional journey with a lot... This is also not written very well, sorry. a complex emotional journey with a lot to tell. The shallow sensitivity and the big theme that everyone wants to be special and different is pictured a lot. The only thing that made the protagonist special is that she had a lot of problems without actually having a problem and maybe a broken iPhone. The reason I am writing this review is that I keep wondering how this movie can be considered as a masterpiece when the culture of this so-called new generation has no philosophic background and just floats behind a screen on a 24/7 basis. As the years pass by, the American cinema has less and less to offer. Makes me wonder if humans over there have become empty shells. So I feel like that review is not well written because I think it's written by a person who speaks English as a second language. But I feel like they really missed the point of the film.
I agree. Yeah,
like,
I think it's...
I think the point of the film is that, like, there is a lot going on. And just because they don't seem like problems to an adult doesn't mean they don't feel like real problems to you when you're living them.
And it's supposed to bring back those feelings that, like, oh, I remember feeling that way, and I remember feeling like these were actual problems.
Exactly. And I guess, like, if you never felt that way, then you wouldn't understand this film, and I guess that's why I don't really relate to a lot of, like, coming-of-age films, is because of that. I never felt those feelings, so it's hard for me to relate to them and see them as real problems. But for someone who, like, did feel this way... I think it's an amazingly accurate depiction of what it was like to be in middle school for me. And
I
for
agree.
A lot of
me
people
too.
who felt, and I'm not saying you, like, you being popular means in middle school would mean that, like, you can't relate to this, because I think it's more of a mindset than it is, like, a actual were you popular or not.
Yeah.
And then also, I don't like the idea that, like, oh, when I was growing up, there were real emotional journeys for kids, and it's like, that's exactly the really annoying thing that old people say. That makes young people hate them. And why you should watch a bunch, and why, as an adult, you should always try and watch coming-of-age films and try and remember what it's like to be young, because then you see this film and you think, oh, we had real problems. You just have a broken iPhone. And it's like, well, look a little deeper than that, my friend.
Yeah, definitely.
And also the idea that the idea is that everyone wants to be special and different. And it's like, well, yeah, but everyone wants to be special and different. For all time, people have wanted to be unique.
Everyone wants to be unique all the time.
Exactly. That's the problem. That's why she's so fucking sad. is because she wants to be really unique and cool and fit this, like, cool, awesome thing. But it's like, she's not. It's sad. And also the idea that generations have to have a philosophic background. Maybe you just can't. Maybe philosophy changes and you just aren't
ready for it.
Yeah, ready for it. Maybe you're not young enough to be able to read between the lines, which I think this movie is pretty easy to read between the lines on.
Yeah.
But hey, I guess I'm still young.
All maybe right.
If I was 60. All right. Wowza.
Wowza.
I love this movie. Love this movie.
Me too. All right, guys, follow us on social media.
Please.
Donate to our Patreon, please.
Yep, and if you are an Apple listener, give us a review, because I think we finally fixed our audio, so woo! Don't be mad at us. Sorry. We're going to, someday when I get back, we're going to re-upload all the janky episodes. We're going to re-edit them and re-upload them. But right now, I do not have time for that.
It's true.
Neither does she.
So in January, you should expect more episodes that we've already covered to be revamped.
Yeah, probably what will happen is we'll just re-upload the episodes to the same place that they're in right now. So if you tried to listen to them and you were like, I literally cannot get through this because the audio is so fucking distorted, which I understand, then hopefully you'll be able to go back and listen to those episodes, and we'll let you know when that happens, of course. Everywhere. So follow us on social media and everywhere so we can let you know, and those episodes are going to be re-uploaded for our Patreon first. Mm-hmm. So if you want to listen to them sooner, go there.
Yes.
Whew, cool. That was a long one.
Yes, it was. All right, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Gucci.